turn on the recorder.
So I have to, now I have to summarize what we just were speaking about because I just turned the recorder on. But for those of you with bad memories, it will help. My experience or my realization is that we tend to live in our minds. That's our world, and we talk to ourselves. Of course, who is the self that's talking to the self? Usually we understand that it's the mind. The mind is giving feedback. Then we as the soul or as intelligence are looking at it or numb to it and not looking at it and allowing the mind to direct us. But so there's this conversation going on, and within our minds, we think. That's what the mind does. We think about things. We go over it. We ponder things. We look at things. We worry about things. We plan on things. And then we plan and we worry if the plans will be successful. Or we worry if we'll have enough time. Or we worry if we have the ability to make it happen. Or will the people we're counting on come through? These are the concerns of the mind. This is like normal daily affairs. And so we all have minds, so you know what the mind does. It's really not necessary to talk so much about that. But if you actually look at your mind while you're chanting, if you're not chanting well, you will see that your mind, that's what your mind is doing. It's doing the same things it always does. It's worrying about the same things. It's sometimes even more creative. Some people find chanting makes the mind very creative. Or even philosophically creative. We can go off on philosophical journeys while we're chanting and contemplate philosophical ideas or verses and analyze them. And so really, if you look at this openly and honestly, what's happening is you're being drawn away from hearing the holy name by being in the mind, because that's what the mind does. The mind, if you understand how the mind works, you'll understand, it'll be more clear to you how the mind takes you away from being present in what you're doing. In this example, we're chanting, and that's what we want to be present to, the experience of chanting, the hearing of the holy name, the mood of chanting, the whole entire experience of what japa is. So let's say in the ideal world of japa, we'll be asking Krishna, or the mood will be, we don't have to consciously be wording this, but there'll be a mood, Krishna, please help me, uplift me, accept me, please eternally engage me, please make me a dust at your lotus feet, please pick me up out of the material world. All these expressions are there in terms of feeling. They don't have to be put into words, but they're expressed, when we're chanting properly, they're expressed in feeling, because feeling is different than words. Words may not be feeling. Words are descriptions of feeling. So when you're really in your chanting, you're not in your mind thinking, am I chanting properly? But you're feeling your devotion. And offering that to Krishna and appreciating the transcendental nature of Krishna's name, you're absorbing yourself and hearing that, but not only hearing it, just the whole resonance of the vibration in your body, or just feeling that this is Krishna, because Krishna is his name. So Krishna's present, and you, when someone's present, everyone has vibes. So what kind of vibes does Krishna have? They're eternally Satchit Ananda. So Krishna's there. So when we're properly chanting, we're there. We're experiencing something profound, something deep. And also, we are not analyzing the experience. We're not thinking, is this the right experience, or am I chanting properly? That's in the mind. And see, so what happens is if you go into the mind, you start to lose the experience. The more you go into the mind, the more you lose contact with what you're experiencing at that moment. So there's this idea, just try to experience what you're experiencing. So that seems redundant, but if you think about what it means, is when we're chanting, there is an experience of the holy name, but sometimes we don't experience that. What we experience is our own thoughts. So we're going off in the experience of our minds and our thoughts, not in the experience the holy name. Of course, you might say, well, the holy name is generating these thoughts. That may be true. But that's not the experience of the holy name. When it goes into the mind, then it takes another dimension. And then the mind, even if we go off into what we might consider something nice, like I'm thinking about how I can serve Krishna. So you might think, well, while you're chanting, that's good to think about service. It's not. That's not the process. It's never as a recommended process. The recommended process is to be absorbed in hearing. Anytime anyone would ask Prabhupada about how to chant, he would say, be absorbed in hearing. Then you might say, well, what about being absorbed in thinking of Krishna's form, pastimes, and qualities? And the way this is explained is that within Krishna's name is the form, qualities, and pastimes. So as you become purified, the forms, qualities, and pastimes, you realize that they're there. They're already there. So it's not like you have to artificially, okay, push them in. You may want to do that. You may find that it helps you. But it's a little artificial. Because Krishna, the sound vibration Krishna, is avatar. It is Krishna descending in his name fully. That name Krishna has form to it. So we hear it as a sound because we're materially conditioned. So we think, well, it's just a sound. And sound doesn't have form. Because in our world, sound is only representative of the object. But in the absolute world, it's not representative of an object. It is the object. So Krishna in the sound is Krishna. That means there's form in that sound. That means there's quality. The qualities of Krishna, they all exist in that sound. That means the lila, it exists in that sound. So the form, the qualities, the pastimes, they all exist there. But we don't realize that. But if we... when we become purified, then that becomes revealed to us. Because it's already there, because that is Krishna. It's just not, we don't know that. It's not, it's like you go to the holy dham, it's the spiritual world, but you may not see that. You might just see trash and dirty dogs and village people and hot weather and mosquitoes. You may not see the dham, but it's there. It's just covered by our vision because it's not pure. So Krishna's name, he's there in his name, fully manifest with all his associates, his lila, his form, his pastimes, his qualities, it's all there. But, so that's the principle of chanting. We're absorbed in hearing, and in that absorption of hearing, realization of the presence of Krishna increases more and more because there's not being filtered anymore between from the mind, because the name Krishna is Krishna, it's transcendental, and you're there. If you're hearing, you're right there with Krishna. You come to a transcendental position. Now Prabhupada's explained that many, many times. It's a transcendental sound. If you hear it, your consciousness goes to a transcendental position. It doesn't remain in this world. But the nature of the mind is to bring us back in this world. So I want to make this point really clear because you can really see the difference in if you understand this difference, then it can help you a lot in just being able to focus on hearing. And we're going to talk about how to do that, but I just wanted to clarify this first. The name is transcendental, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's the complete form of Krishna. Hare Krishna is Radha and Krishna. Don't try to figure that out with your head. You'll never figure it out with your head. You'll only figure it out with your heart. Because it's something you have to experience. You can't understand how a sound can be a person. You can't understand that with your head. And you can theoretically get some idea, but you'll ponder it and it's not going to make sense. But Krishna's a person. And he's not different than his name. In the material world, we don't have that experience, so we try to figure it out. How is that possible? You know, it's just a sound, and how can a sound be the same as a person? And Prabhupada said, there's no difference from chanting Krishna's name and associating with Krishna personally. He said in the Bhagavatam, there's no difference from reading Bhagavatam and personally associating with Krishna, because the Bhagavatam is also an incarnation. See, the name is an incarnation of Krishna. It's avatar. It descends, Krishna descends in his name to us conditioned souls who've turned our back on him, who are not really even qualified to associate with him personally, but he, out of his kindness, he descends in his name fully. And we're thinking, well, it's not really Krishna, it's just a mantra, or it's, you know, I'd rather see Krishna, you know, I mean, if I could see him, yeah, then I'd surrender. No, you wouldn't, because we can't see him if we're not purified. So even if Krishna appeared before us, we wouldn't see him. We'd see something else. Just like we see the deity and we think the deity is stone. So we hear the name and we think, well, it's just a sound. It's a nice sound. Nice melody, nice sound. But then we have no taste. And we have to force ourselves. That's our unfortunate condition. So the idea is, if we are absorbed in hearing, because the name is transcendental, if we're absorbed in hearing, then we come to the transcendental platform. We're not in the material world at that point. Our consciousness is out of the material world. If we're hearing, if we're totally absorbed, it's just you chanting and hearing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's all there is. It's just japa. I don't know if any of you have ever had a japa session like that, where it's just you and the holy name. There's nothing else. Nothing else exists. The whole world out there does not exist. It's just the name and you, and you're just hearing. That's what we want. That's perfection. Okay, so let's kind of like isolate that, and put that on a pedestal. That's what we're after. And we all experience that a little bit. Sometimes when we're chanting japa, somehow or other we get absorbed for a round, a half a round, a few beads. And we know it's a special experience that we can feel. I was there with Krishna. The material world just seemed to melt away. I was there with Krishna. There was nothing else going on. Didn't matter what's going on in this world. Didn't matter anymore. I was in a transcendental position. So that's where we want to get to. Sometimes we're fortunate. We'll chant all our rounds like that, or many of our rounds. So let's take it from that platform, that theoretically we're chanting and all we can hear is the holy name. And we're not thinking, am I doing it right or wrong? Am I a good devotee? Am I a bad devotee? Will people look at me and think, oh, I'm chanting well? Will they look at me and think, oh, I'm not chanting well? Well, we're not thinking anything. We're not thinking, tomorrow I'm going to cook this for the deities. Yesterday I cooked that for the deities. I should have done this, I should have done that. We're not thinking any of those things. We're just hearing. That's all we're doing. We're just hearing. We're just absorbed. We're just chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Totally absorbed in that sound vibration. And so as we're absorbed like that and we're chanting, a thought comes in our mind. Not unusual, is it, that a thought may come to your mind? And then another thought comes, and then another, and then another, and another, and another, which is what the mind does. The mind likes thoughts, in case you haven't noticed. The mind really likes thoughts. It feed it thoughts. It will eat all the thoughts you can feed it. It has this unlimited digestive capacity for thoughts. Just feed it, and it will chew on them and eat them up and regurgitate them and just spin them around in so many ways, right? And as you give it one thought, hey, that was an interesting thought. What about this thought? And I don't know if you've ever seen patterns, but sometimes a thought comes to your mind and you don't know where it came from, and you think about something you did like 20 years ago. And then that triggers another thought of another person that was there, and you think, I wonder where that person is now, and maybe they're here. Pretty soon, after a few minutes, you've just gone around the world trying to trace out that person. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. You know, just one weird thought, and you know, or like, yeah, when I was a kid, I did this, and I wonder where that instrument still is because my parents never sold it. Maybe I could go get it, and maybe I should start playing it again, and that would be fun, and we could have a band. And you're just, mind is going. Mind really likes to think, right? It's just like, it's totally into thinking, yeah, Pallavi says, chain reaction. It just, you know, one thing to another, you know, or maybe it's your service, you know, we could do this, and then we could do that, and if we do this, we could do that, and it's just creating this whole, just creation, you know, creating is, it's fun, because when you actually have to do it, it's hard, but you could create it in your mind. I mean, you could build a castle in your mind, a lot easier than actually getting an engineer and an architect and doing it. Just do it in your head. It's like, wow, that was easy. I just built a castle. You know, 56 rooms, all marble, gold doors. I mean, you can do anything in your mind. So, of course, there is a process of devotional service which you can do in your mind. But we are here now talking about, I'm trying to make the point, that here you are absorbed in Krishna, just absorbed in thinking, hearing the holy name, in praying, and if you're more advanced, in naturally being absorbed in Krishna's qualities, his form, his lila, and you're there, and thought comes in your mind. I have a doctor's appointment at 4:00. What just happened? Came right down here to the material world. You were doing really good in the transcendental world, and the thought came, brought you right back into this so-called reality, which Prabhupada called just a dream, just a little longer than the night dream, maybe twice as long as the night dream, 16 hours, and the night dream is 8. But he said, just a shorter dream. So, right back. But you say, but I was thinking of service. I was thinking I had to go shopping and to buy some fruit and cream for the deities. Okay. So you're thinking of service. But still, you've gone into your mind. And the mind takes you away from the present and what you're experiencing. This is a really important point. When you go into your mind, you tend to lose the experience of the present, what you're actually experiencing. The mind takes you, especially the mind is very expert at taking us places. It might take us in the present time. So now you can think of India. Okay, you think right now I'm thinking of India. So I'm in the present, but I'm thinking of India. So I'm not really here. I'm not right here. I'm in India. So I'm thinking of India. And I've lost touch with you and what I'm saying. I'm in India. Okay. Now, if you're chanting japa and you go to Vrindavan, yeah, that's where you want to be. That's nice. But generally, or often, we go places in our mind, in the future, in the past, or in the present, but not in the present where we are with the chanting, but in the present of creation. I'm creating something. And I was making the point, even if we're creating philosophical concepts, it's taking us away from the experience of the japa. Try to experience what you're experiencing. In other words, you're having an experience, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's an experience. That's what's going on. You're chanting, the sound vibration is there, you can feel it, you can hear it, but then you get into your mind and you remove yourself from the experience and then you go into your mind. So then you can't experience it here within the heart because you're in your mind. When you're chanting, the feeling of, oh Krishna, please save me. Krishna, please accept me. Or whatever you're feeling, it's not in here. That's not where you feel. The presence of the feeling is here. It's in the heart. And that's what it means to be present when you're chanting. And so even if you're analyzing, well, how am I chanting? Or let's say you might be analyzing, am I really feeling anything? Because you're all in your head. So you're going away by monitoring your experience. Now you're going away from the experience. Am I really experiencing anything? Am I getting a taste? Am I not getting a taste? When will this chanting be over? I have other things to do. I'm getting bored. All this stuff is going on in the mind, right? All of that is removing us from the experience of just experiencing the holy name. The holy name is there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The holy name is there. It's right there. All you have to do is allow yourself to experience what you're doing. Like a lot of times devotees, they'll really, really try hard to control the mind. And the harder they try, the more difficult it becomes. But actually, if you think about what's going on, you're chanting, and if you just allow yourself to Just experience what you're doing. You don't have to struggle and try to control the mind. Just allow yourself to experience what you're experiencing. Now, a lot of times devotees will say, well, when I chant, I don't experience anything. And you do. You experience your mind because that's where you are. That's what you're experiencing. But if you're not in your mind and just allow yourself to experience the holy name, just out of the mind into the holy name, you will experience. You won't experience necessarily great levels of ecstasy or love or a super taste, but you will experience the holy name. And a lot of times what I see we're doing is we're getting in the way because of our minds from allowing ourselves to experience what's going on when we're chanting. I mean, have you ever been in a kirtan and your mind is somewhere else? You're not, it's like there's a glass wall there and it's a soundproof wall. And the kirtan or the japa is like, it's like going on the other side. And you're on the other side and you can't hear anything. You're not there. So oftentimes it's just like that. It's like it's going on, but we remove ourselves. It's like we put a wall between ourselves and the holy name, and then we go on in our little mind world of digesting thoughts and worries and fears and plans and regrets and lamentations and hankerings and all this material stuff, which we're doing all the time anyway. And then we do it while we're chanting and we remove ourselves from the vibration. It's such a loss. It's so unfortunate. And then we complain, well, I don't have a taste for chanting. It's just so hard to chant. And it's 16 rounds, it's so much. So Prabhupada said, I wrote this down. See if you can see this. I'm making up, been reading some things Prabhupada said about chanting. Here's one thing he said. Can you see that? The people listening to the audio can't see it. Prabhupada said, 16 rounds is nothing. So we think 16 rounds is a lot. Prabhupada was saying, you know, many devotees in Vrindavan will chant 120 rounds, 100 rounds. It's not extraordinary. So then he said, you know, standard is 64 rounds. The 16 rounds that Prabhupada gave, you won't find that anywhere in any shastra. That what Prabhupada gave to us, because he said, you're too restless to chant more than that. So 16, but minimum. And so they went on to explain, 64 is normal. And what was the no? You didn't see it? 16 rounds is minimum. So 64 rounds, 100 rounds, 120 rounds, 300 rounds for Takahari Das, something like that. So then when Prabhupada was explaining that, then he said 16 rounds minimum. So it's a nice viewpoint to see 16 rounds is not, of course, 16 rounds minimum. 16 rounds is nothing. Don't think it's a lot. We're just hearing the holy name and doing what? You're associating with Krishna. That's what you're doing. Again, you're in your mind. Anjika's asking, so we're doing the holy name and then what? What are we doing? Holy name is service. Chanting the holy name is service. You're just hearing. That's service. You're praying. You're offering Krishna yourself. Hare Krishna, accept me. Please Krishna, accept me. Here, I'll read you something. Anjika. What do we experience? You don't even have to look for the experience. Here. O energy of the Lord. O the Lord, please accept me. That's all. Please accept me. We have no other prayer. Please accept me. So you're chanting, right? What is the mood? What are you supposed to do? You're chanting. What do we experience? There's two things you experience. One thing is you experience your own bhakti. So here Prabhupada's saying, Krishna, please accept me. Why would you ask Krishna to accept you? Because you are eternally connected with him. We are eternally connected, and we turned away from that connection and we ran away like a child runs out of their home, from their parents. And now we want to come back, so we're saying, Krishna, please accept me. I'm not qualified. We have turned away from Krishna, we've committed so many sinful activities, we've forgotten him for so many years, we've competed with him, we're still competing with him, we're still trying to put ourselves in the center, we still don't get it that our constitutional position is servant. We don't get it. We're always switching to enjoyer mode. Have you noticed that? You know, you read, I'm eternal servant of Krishna. You read, I'm not this body. My identity, my real identity is servant, right? And then all of a sudden, whew, I like to enjoy that. Hey, the new movie. Did you read about the new movie? I want to go see that. Oh, look at that. Looks really good to taste, right? We just kick right out of the servant mood and we kick into the enjoyer mood. From putting Krishna into the center, he goes outside, we come in the center. Oh, I could enjoy that. Oh, I'm not supposed to think of that. Let's bring Krishna back in the center. You see how conditioned we are. That's this eternally conditioning where we're always switching into enjoyer mode. And then when we switch into enjoyer mode, it means we're switched out of servant mode. Because enjoyer mode and server mode are two opposite ends. Now, the problem is that so many religions, they want to equate them as one. It's not like that. Prabhupada said 1.5 million times, our constitutional position is as servants. Constitutional position means that's the permanent position. The position of enjoyer is a falsely assumed position. It's called false ego. It's a false identity. It's not who we are. Real identity is we're servant. False identity is I'm not servant. I'm to be served. I'm enjoyer. So we're going along nicely. We're doing our whatever we do in life. And then we see something. Oh, that's really nice. I'd like to enjoy that. We go into enjoyer. Enjoyer mentality. Enjoyer mentality takes over. We forget we're servant. Servant mentality is that's really nice. I'd like to do that for Krishna. I'd like to offer that to Krishna. Krishna would like that. That's the difference. So when you're chanting, what do you experience? You experience your own prayer, your own crying. Krishna, please accept me. So many lifetimes I've served my senses. Please accept me. Please uplift me. Give me the desire and strength to serve you. That is what's coming from the heart of a devotee who's actually chanting. That's the mood. That's the proper mood. It's, as I was saying before, it's not a thought process. You don't think, okay, I've fallen in the ocean of the material world and I'm really eternal servant of Krishna, so I should be praying for service. That's not feeling, that's nothing. That's just like, that's duty, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, it's like a husband comes home. He's, you know, been married for 50 years, he's finished with household life, he doesn't like his wife, and yeah, but I should be nice to her, and I should bring her some flowers, and I should say some nice things. There's like nothing in his heart, it's just he knows intellectually. So you don't want to chant intellectually, I know I should pray, so okay, I'm going to try to come up with some prayers. 1, 2, 3, okay, let's pray, Hare Krishna. No, it's not like that. It's a natural outpouring of realization of my condition. I've fallen into the material world, I'm suffering here. I'm separated from Krishna. I'm eternally connected to Krishna. This is the relationship that I hanker after, lifetime after lifetime, but I've been avoiding it. And now, by the good fortune of Srila Prabhupada and the Krishna Consciousness Movement, I have an opportunity to reconnect with Krishna after millions of lifetimes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna, please accept me. That's the mood coming from you. But what else is going on? And this is the point I was making. You're chanting this vibration, Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama, Hari, Hari. This is not an ordinary sound. But because we're contaminated, we hear it as an ordinary sound. We just think it's like anything. You know, your name. Your name is Anjinkya. So Anjinkya, Krishna, Rama. And then we have Pallavi and Catherine. And we have Kremlin and Siddhartha, and so many people are here. And it's just names calling people. Krishna's name is not like that. The realized devotees say, Krishna's name is sweet, like nectar. It is so sweet that I want millions of mouths to taste it. It's the highest nectar. Here, let us read something from Sanatana Goswami. The holy name is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. So the holy name, because it's Krishna, it's my life and my treasure. So what is the experience? What are we supposed to feel? Don't think what you're supposed to feel. We expressed what you should be offering to the holy name as a genuine realization of your condition of having turned your back on Krishna and wanting to reconnect. Krishna, please accept me. There. Now, Prabhupada said, we have no right to demand that Krishna will accept us. That's the mood we're coming from. Where we're chanting, Krishna, I have no right to ask this, but still I want this and I know you'll accept me. So please accept me. Now, we're chanting in that mood, but we're also hearing the vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hearing it and feeling it and experiencing that transcendental sound. That's the other side. What are you supposed to experience? Don't try to experience, because when you try to experience, it's like going out with a girl or a boy and saying, I'm going to try to experience liking them. I don't really like them, I'm going to try to. No, it's like you're going to like them or not. You can't try. If you like them, you'll like them. Just by being together with them, the attraction will come. It's natural. So we all like Krishna. So it's just a question of allowing ourselves to like it, to be present, to hear and be absorbed in hearing and feeling and experiencing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and not be in your mind traveling all over the universe so that you disassociate, you disentangle yourself from the experience you could be having because you're no longer having it because now you're living in your head. You see what we said before? We said when you're in your head, you're not present. And you don't just have to experience this with chanting. You can experience this with anything in your life. When you're in your head, your thoughts, you're analyzing, you lose touch with what's actually going on presently. When you're present with the experience of what you're experiencing. Just like right now, what are you experiencing? You're sitting in a room, there's a certain temperature, there's certain lights, you're listening to me. There's an experience. But if while I'm talking, you go off on your thought process, you'll totally lose touch with what I'm saying and what your present experience. So my point is, when we're chanting, we should experience what we're experiencing. Just allow ourselves to experience it. You don't have to try. I'm going to try to get a taste. You don't have to try to get a taste. Krishna's name is already sweet. If you become purified, you automatically taste it. It's like you eat ice cream. You don't have to try to get a taste for ice cream. It's already tasty. Maybe you're sick and you can't taste it, so try to cure yourself. But you don't have to try to get a taste for something which is tasty. So Krishna is already tasty. We just have to allow ourselves to experience the taste. Just experience it. I think it was last week I was saying, I don't know if you were here, I was saying that sometimes you might eat a meal and you're so absorbed in eating. You're so absorbed in something else, perhaps talking or reading or something. You're not even conscious you're eating, and you look at your plate and you're finished and you don't even realize that you ate everything. You thought there would be half a plate left. We all have that experience. It's gone. I wasn't even paying attention. So that's what it means not to be present. So you chant your rounds and you finish your rounds and you realize I wasn't present with my rounds. I wasn't even hearing. I wasn't even experiencing the holy name. I was just off in my mind. That's why we can't experience, because we go off in our mind. So, and Jinka says, I understand. So that's a polite way of saying, okay, you said enough, Mahatma, quiet down here. Now, this is going to lead us into very, very, very important point, which it's going to be the whole point of this class now. Surrender ourselves, not... I don't know how you understand surrender. I want to say, just be present with it. When you're chanting, then just be chanting. Just allow yourself to experience it. Just like if you're with somebody and they're talking to you. You know that someone's talking to you, if there's a good friend and it's important and you're right there with him, you're listening and you're feeling what they're feeling, and you're hearing what they're saying, and it's as important to you as it is to them. Or you could be very absorbed in your own thoughts, so they're saying something very important and you're thinking about all these things you have to do, and you got a few words, but you really didn't get it. And then you meet them the next day and they tell you something, and you say, oh, I didn't know you were doing that. And they say, but I told you yesterday I was doing that. And, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. So that can happen when we're chanting. Just the chanting is going on. Just be there with it. Allow yourself to experience what you're experiencing. What are you experiencing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. You can experience that sound vibration. You just allow yourself to experience it. Now, so there was a conversation, and I had it written down. Oh, let me read this. Just emphasize what I've been saying. This is from Srila Prabhupada. The sound vibration is not material. It is spiritual and powerful beyond our conception. It cannot be hindered in any way by something material. It surpasses all these material barriers. You can know it that when you're chanting, you're also giving benefit even to the child in the womb. In other words, Prabhupada's saying the chanting is beyond the mind, beyond the senses, beyond the intelligence. It's a transcendental sound, right? It's a spiritual sound, which takes us to the spiritual platform when we're absorbed in it. And when we get absorbed in our mind, then we're just absorbed in our mind. That's just what it is. So now, there is a conversation. Many of you have heard this, and I just heard this conversation, and I wrote down exactly what Prabhupada said. Unfortunately, I wrote it on a little piece of paper, and this weekend when I was somewhere else, and I can't find it, but I know where to find it on my iPod. But anyway, I'll give you the basis of what Prabhupada said. They were talking about chanting, and Prabhupada was saying, Prabhupada was emphasizing the importance of chanting, and then the devotee saying, but it's so difficult to control the mind. And Prabhupada said, where's the question of controlling? He said, you chant and you hear. There's no question of the mind. Now, I don't know if this is the first time you've heard this, but those of us who have heard this often are bewildered by that, because we're thinking, there's no question of the mind, but, you know, I'm praying, Krishna, please help me, please save me. So there's some thought process somewhere. But the more you think about it, the more you'll see the power in this statement. And this is really the position we want to be in when we're chanting. And Prabhupada said, there's no question of the mind. It's just your hearing and your chanting. And now earlier, what was I saying? I was saying, chanting is a prayer. Or Prabhupada was saying, chanting is a prayer. Krishna, please accept me. Please engage me. Please uplift me. Please save me from the material world. That's what the chanting is. It's a prayer. And I was making the point before, a very important point, that prayer is not a mental process. It's a process of heart. And that's why in poetry or music, in lyrics of songs, we say, my words cannot express what I feel for you. Words are only expressions of a feeling. They're not the feeling. The feeling and the words are two different things. You don't need words for feeling. Just like here, I'm rubbing my hands together right now, and I'm going to tell you what it feels like. It feels a little rough, and it feels a little warm, and it also feels a little smooth, right? Were those words the experience? No. Was the word rough and smooth and warm, is that the experience? It's not the words are not the experience. Now, what I'm going to do now, I'm not going to use words, and I'm just going to experience my hands. Excuse me for 10 seconds. I'm going to rub my hands and I'm going to experience it. And I'm experiencing this without words. You can try that. Do something and describe the experience, and then do something and just experience the experience, and immediately you'll realize that the experience is different than the description of it, because when you're describing it, it's the experience is going on in your head. And when you're just allowing yourself to experience, the experience is going on with the experience. So, rub your hands and just experience what that is without words. That's You know, no words, no words, no words. Just rub it. What is that? What are you feeling? Just experience what you're feeling. Don't translate it into heat or smooth or moist. Just experience it. And think of that same thing just where you're at now, just experiencing that. Think of that same thing when you're chanting. Just experience the chanting. Just chanting, just the experience. That's it. You don't have to think if you're experiencing it, if you're experiencing it right or wrong, chanting this or that. Just the experience. Krishna's there in his name, just hearing it. That's the experience. That's what Prabhupada means. There's no question of the mind. You don't. The mind just gets in the way. I mean, we talked about this earlier. You see, the mind just takes you away from the present. When you go in your mind, you lose touch with the present. And you're analyzing. It's just not good. So Prabhupada is saying, there's no question of the mind. And think about that. It's a powerful statement. He said, what is a question of mind? You just chant and you just hear. So if you do this, you can realize, you will realize, and if you begin to practice this, you'll see that when you chant, there's always this tendency for the mind to come up and start thinking. And if you remind yourself, okay, I don't need the mind to chant, not only do I not need it, it gets in the way. What I need to chant is the heart, because that's where all the bhakti is going to come from. And I need the heart also to experience the chanting. As I chant and hear, I just need to experience. I don't need the mind to experience it. The mind just filters experience. The mind analyzes experience. The mind gets in the way of experience. The mind takes us to distant places. You don't need it. Not only you don't need it, it's getting in the way. You drop that and there's just you and the vibration. That's it. That's the perfection. It's just you and the vibration. And then you give yourself to that vibration in prayer, which is coming from the heart, which doesn't have to be a mental idea. Even if you take someone else's prayer, you imbibe the mood of that prayer and then you offer it in that mood rather than in words. Because when you get hung up in words, you're hung up again in your mind and you're not in your heart. Whereas that's where you offer from. So feelings, what I feel, I can't describe. Words cannot describe my feelings for you. Words cannot describe this feeling. They can try to describe it, but what they're describing, smooth, that's not, the word smooth is not the experience. This is the experience right here, without words. This is what I'm feeling right now. The same thing, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Without words, anything, just hearing and allowing yourself to experience it, that's what the holy name is. And then, by doing that, more and more you will realize the transcendental nature of the holy name. If you just allow yourself to be present with it, it's really simple when you think about it. And we make it really complicated by getting in the way. And basically what we're doing is we are going through the same mental identity that we have all during the day of talking to ourselves, and then we're just chanting and talking, what am I going to do next? Boy, am I tired. Boy, am I hungry. I'd really like to eat. Oh, how many rounds do I have left? We're just living up here. And the holy name is just going on somewhere out there, and we're not even conscious of it. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. How many rounds do I have left? Oh, I didn't make that phone call. I have to pick up my kids at 4. We're totally absorbed in our material existence while we're chanting. What's the point? What's the use? Of course, we should keep chanting, yes. But the point is, we're minimizing the benefit of it. So, you know, you could call it surrender. I just call it just experiencing it, just allowing it to be. Don't fight it. We're always fighting Krishna. Why do we fight Krishna? He's just there. He's come to us in his name. He's so merciful. He's so kind. We turned our back on him, and he's so kind. He's descended, avatar. It's the only way we can approach him. We are not qualified to approach him. He comes this way. You don't have to be initiated. You don't have to be a Brahmin. You don't have to be anybody. Any man, woman, child, or animal on the street, anywhere, can take the holy name and Krishna will be present to them. What mercy. And so Krishna's coming, he's descending, he's present, and we're thinking about how many bills we have. And we're thinking about the person that said something nasty to us. We're thinking about the person who did something stupid. We're thinking about how much we don't like somebody or how many things we have to do and going, you know, a million things. What's going on? Just the holy name is there. Just be with the name. That's it. So now I came up with something. I have a message for you. And this is the message. I hope you can see this. It says, you've got to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. You may want to write this down, because that's the theme of this talk tonight. You've got to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. Got to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. Got to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. That's right. You've got to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. So now you know what that means. As the Prabhupada said, no question of the mind. No question of the mind. You chant and you hear. You have to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. And if you're not out of your mind when you're chanting, you're in big trouble, because your mind, your mind, you know. When we are absorbed on a higher level of bhakti, as I was saying, naturally, nam, rupa, guna, lila, they're all going to come to us because they're there in Krishna's name. That's what it is. It's Krishna. So I have another one for you. This was Prabhupada's statement, right? Where is the question of the mind? Where is the question of the mind? Just chant and hear. So if you want to make a sign like this, you can. You can put it on your wall. Where is the question of the mind? Just chant and hear. If you want to make another one, you don't experience life in your mind. Your mind is where you think about it. It's not where you experience it. So we don't want to chant and think about chanting. We want to chant and chant. We want to be with the name. Right? Isn't that the idea? Just now, if you do this, what happens is you're going to have a problem with your time. And the problem is you're not going to want to stop chanting. Because if you're actually present with Krishna, you could go the whole day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wow, that is so sweet. I'm actually feeling the presence of Krishna's name. You don't have to worry about feeling Krishna's presence. Just feel his name, just because Krishna is his name. He's not different, right? Again, don't try to figure it out. Just experience. Allow yourself to experience it. And then it gets sweet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You don't have to think. Don't think. Just experience. Just allow yourself to experience. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it just gets sweeter and sweeter, and you're just experiencing the name. And you're not experiencing anything else. You're experiencing the name, and you're experiencing your devotion to the name. Oh, Krishna, please accept me. This is so sweet. And that's the symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness, is that you experience the sweetness of the name. That's how you do it. Now, the thing is, in the beginning, we don't experience the sweetness. But my point is, if you allow yourself to be present, even if you don't experience its supreme sweetness, you will experience the transcendental nature of the vibration, and you'll feel blissful to some degree by being present with the holy name. The problem is, when we're not present, then we're chanting and we're feeling disturbed or upset. We're not, you know, we're chanting Krishna's name, but something inside of us is not wanting to chant. So I really don't want to be doing this. And that's because we're in our mind, and the mind is revolting. I don't want to do this. I don't like it. It's not pleasing. it is very pleasing and you actually want to do it, just get out of your mind. Just stop fighting it. Just get out of passion. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And this. Just calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Just relax. Put your hands on your chest. Just calm down. And just hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And just hear it. And then everything is, oh, that's sweet. That's nice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So sweet, so nice. It's Krishna, Krishna's there. Oh my God, Krishna's present there. Personally, he's come. Okay, I think you got that. How much time do we have? 5 minutes, okay. I'm going to tell you something very sweet. You want to hear something very sweet, very special? This is really nice. And those of you who have more than one child can relate to this. Or if you don't, you could imagine it. As Prabhupada said, we have children because we want to enjoy our children. He said, just as Krishna wants to enjoy us, we're his children. So, every child that a parent has can offer their own unique relationship and their own unique kind of affection. And the kind of affection that one child gives, the other child can't give exactly that same kind of affection, and it's not the same relationship. It's different. It's special, right? Because each of us are unique individuals. Or is it each of us is a unique individual? Where's the object and subject? Anyway. Each of us, we are all individuals. So therefore, we have an individual relationship with Krishna, just as the children have an individual relationship with the parents. So each child can offer affection in a special way that is unique. And so the parent enjoys that affection from each child in a special way. So I believe it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who said, similarly, each of us has a certain special kind of affection or love and service to give to Krishna. And nobody else can give that special kind of service to Krishna, that special kind of love. It's the kind that we have that we can give to Krishna. So what I have, what you have, what Catherine has, Prema Sindhu has, Devavati has, Siddhartha has, Ajinka has, Pallavi has, I have, Anushka, Kremlin, Sharada, Visitor 5, and who is that? M here. I don't know who that is, but and everyone else of you who are watching, you all have an individual way that you can serve Krishna that and love Krishna that he can relish that nobody else can give. Isn't that amazing to think like that? Siddhartha, is that amazing? You have a certain kind of love that only you can give to Krishna. Nobody else can give it but you. So now, if you think of that when you're chanting, you could be thinking that you're offering these mantras, you're offering them to please Krishna because it's Krishna's name and everybody likes to hear their name, including Krishna. Right? Isn't it? It is amazing. It's such a... I mean, you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And you're offering that to Krishna and you're thinking, I'm the only one who can offer that to Krishna. Wow. I'm the only one who could offer that mantra. And another thought that I have that kind of parallels this is I think when I'm chanting, it's like the gopis in the rasa dance, they all thought Krishna was with them. You know that? And they thought, Krishna's with me alone. But they all had their own Krishna. They just couldn't see the other Krishna. So it's like when we chant, it's like that's our Krishna. Every time we chant Hare Krishna, there's our Krishna. He's right there. It's like, that's my Krishna. I just like made him. I created him in a sense. No, he eternally exists. But my Krishna has descended in this mantra that I'm chanting because I'm the one who's chanting it. So there's my Krishna is there. Prabhupada would say like that. We can be possessive. This is my Krishna. So it's my Krishna, and it's my affection that I could offer to Krishna. So it's unique. So this like japa is like amazing. I mean, japa can be such an amazing experience for you when you just calm the mind down and don't think, oh, I have to chant this round. I can't wait till I get it over with. I have to chant these four rounds or these eight rounds or these. I just can't wait to get it over with so I can go on and do something like really important, really juicy. I mean, that's really, really pleasurable. No, but this is actually the most pleasurable. If you just allow yourself to get absorbed and offer your unique devotion to Krishna and offer your unique mantra, your own chanting, and allow yourself to experience that sound vibration and become absorbed and just put your mind to rest and just chant and hear. So, Prabhus, please, I beg you, go out of your mind. Go out of your mind. Just go out of your mind. That's all I can say. You've got to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. I'm going to make a t-shirt. Maybe I'll have it next week and I'll wear it. You've got to be out of your mind to chant Hare Krishna. Okay, so it's now 9:02. Does anyone want to ask any questions before we go? Or maybe you're all so like ecstatic now, you just want to find your japa beads, dust them off, and chant another 16 rounds. It's only 9 o'clock here on the East Coast. I mean, we could stay up all night and just chant, right? We could have a chanting party. And relish. The sweetness. Holy name is sweet. Don't deprive yourself of the sweetness. Don't deprive yourself of the nectar. Krishna's like, he's giving us the nectar for which we're always anxious and we're thinking, no, I'm anxious for other things. No. This is Krishna's giving what we want. This is the treasure. Sanatana Goswami said what? My very life and my only treasure. This is our only treasure. This is it. It's not money. It's not fame. It's not a big house and a big car. It's this. This is the nectar. This is it. If you have this, this is infinitely greater than anything you can get in this material world. It's your relationship with Krishna. Okay? Thank you, everyone. Well, if you want to listen to this recording in a few days, we'll have it up. And Prema Sindhu has a question. All right, what did he say? Okay, very nice class. How does the instruction, always remember Krishna, never forget him, apply if we have to be out of our mind to chant? Because remembrance, you know, chaita, the heart, it's that's where it is. You know, you remember Krishna in your heart, you know. That's, if you listen to a few of the classes I gave previously, I was explaining that what goes in the mind is an effect of what's in the heart. So this is really, if it's in the heart, then that's absorption, you know. So, but the real absorption is just a byproduct of what's in the heart. And then that will be your real mind. So if that's, you know, you're absorbed in Krishna in your mind, that's the real mind. That's not the material mind. That's the spiritual mind. And that's consciousness. It's all one. Just heart, mind, everything. But that material mind, I give this example also that, you know, sometimes you'll call somebody, and if you call somebody and you're in distress, the person can hear the distress in your voice, so you don't have to explain anything, and you're just saying, help, 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 you know, and you don't have to give any other details. So it's like everything that could be in your mind is just expressed in help and is communicated in help. You don't have to say, help, I've fallen in this well, it's 10 feet deep, if you don't get me out, I'm going to drown. It's just help, help. And it communicates everything. So it's when you're chanting, you're expressing, Krishna, please accept me, please save me, and so on. It's just Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, just that name, just calling. Like instead of calling help, you might call mommy, daddy. And so you're just calling, but you're expressing so many things, but they're all expressed in terms of feeling. But you could write out, if you wanted to, in words, what you're expressing, but the real, you know, and so you could express it in hundreds of words, but just saying mommy, daddy. You know, when you're in danger, you know, it expresses, please save me, help me, I'm going to die, I'm in danger, all these things. But it all comes from the heart as a feeling. So that's the main thing. That's the main idea. Then, you know, and the real absorption, as we were saying before, comes as a byproduct of the purification of the realization through purification that Krishna is in his name. So then there's absorption in Nam, the Rupa, the Guna, and the Lila, naturally, because that's what Krishna is. So as I was saying, if you go to Mahatma, if you go to krishna.com/mahatma and you go down to sadhana, and then you can hear the last two classes were about this point, and then I'll put this class up in a few days. And thank you all for coming. And in a week, we're doing a japa program in Gainesville for the devotees who live in Gainesville on Friday night and Saturday. And we'll prepare some more things for that class, and maybe next week we'll share that with you. Thank you, everyone, and have a good rest of the evening. And we'll see you next week. Hare Krishna.